How you guys doing? It's good to see everyone, and welcome once again to Campus Sunday. Let's give it up for all the people who served and helped out. It's really cool to just see how people prepared, and some people are up here speaking for the first time and everything like that. And it was just really cool to see all the hard work that came into today's service. As you have heard time and time again, just this past weekend, we came back from a really incredible conference. It was called Forward. It was a Northeast conference with our campus ministries throughout the Northeast. And it was a really, really amazing time. It was just 1 week ago. And dare I say, it was a life-changing time for some of us. It was so incredible. We had a lot of fun. We had a costume party. We got to spend a weekend with our peers, 600 students, as I said, hanging out late, having great talks, making new friends with our brothers and sisters throughout the Northeast. And out of those almost 600 people, 150 of those people were guests. 150 of those people were people studying the Bible, trying to become Christians, and it was just such an amazing time. So God be the glory. You can clap it up for that. That's awesome. 150 people. Out of those 150, right, one of them was Eugenia Pierre. And Eugenia Pierre, Jemima Georges met her at a bus stop about 2 months ago, invited her out to church and said she was looking for a church. She wants to be around young people who want to follow God. And Jemima brought her out. And since then, she's been studying the Bible. She's a freshman at City Tech. And this past Friday, November 4th, at 6:04 p.m., Eugenia made Jesus Lord of her life and was baptized. We got a video. It's really hard to see. There we go. Eugenia was baptized. It's so amazing. It was really encouraging. It happened in my backyard. That was the first baptism in my backyard, so that was exciting. And it was just amazing to see that. Her coming to the conference and that really pushing her forward and helping her make that decision. Actually, we got something for you, Eugenia. I'm going to need you to come up. We got a Bible and a book. You can come up, Eugenia. Come on. Let's clap it up for Eugenia, guys. Amen. Amen. From this day forward, that's the title of our service, and that's the title of this message. And when I think about that phrase, from this day forward, I think, when's the last time I made a decision with such conviction? From this day forward, that this is the last day of my past, and this is the first day to the rest of my life. And it's going to be the best part of my life. I'm going to live in a different way, make different choices. There will be new habits. I'm going to be a different person. Well, you might think, why might we make such a strong decision in the first place? So kind of plant our feet in the ground and say, from this day forward, I'm going to live differently. And I want to share with you guys a scripture in Philippians 3. Let's turn there together. Philippians 3, starting in verse 4. And we're going to read about Paul. And it just being so clear that this is the type of decision that he's made in his life. Starting in verse 4 of Philippians 3. It says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press forward on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul had so many reasons to be satisfied with where he was at. He gave a whole list of them, all these things that he could put confidence in himself about his righteousness based on the law and all of these things. Paul kind of started this passage with like a spiritual resume, right? All the things that he's done, all the things that he is. But he still realized he wasn't there yet because he didn't fully know Jesus. He wasn't yet completely like Jesus. He was without Jesus. And we're not there yet, right? We haven't obtained everything. We haven't arrived at our goal. We haven't yet taken hold of the prize. We're not yet in heaven, right? I mean, this is not heaven. This doesn't look like heaven. Doesn't feel like heaven, right? We got a ways to go. We're not like Jesus yet. And we have decisions that we need to make to be more and more like him. A decision to be different. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18, you can write that down. It talks about one of the processes of the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of disciples to transform them to be like Jesus. And, you know, you can just reflect on the past few days maybe and consider that process the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives is not done yet. It's not done yet. We're not completely like Jesus. And it won't stop until we're completely like Jesus. We need to be pressing forward until we are completely like him, until we're in heaven. And maybe you're saying, you know, Ashton, when is that ever going to happen? When am I ever going to be like Jesus? You know, or I don't think I'm capable of being like Jesus or just like Jesus. And I say to that, you know, how many times have we used the word disciple without saying of Jesus? So much that we forgot who we're following. The focus is Jesus. Whose feet are we supposed to be sitting at? Who are we supposed to be following? Who are we supposed to be learning from? Who is our entire life patterned after? Jesus. Have you forgotten the Christ in Christian? It's all about Jesus. We have to get there. The goal of our life is to be like him. That's the goal of our entire lives, is to be like him. Our life's journey is to be like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will get us there. He's in the driver's seat. For most of us, he's in the driver's seat. And don't worry, he's leading us in the right direction. But sometimes we want to take the wheel. We make a few turns based on our feelings. A few turns based on our own understanding. We swerve to the right, to the left. We take a few exits that Satan places along the road because the advertisement looks really nice. We lose sight of our destination. We tell the Holy Spirit to take a back seat. And it's only a matter of time before the Spirit living within us is saying things like, are you lost? Are you sure this is the right way? Or even, this is something we hear in our cars, are we there yet? Because if he was in control, we would have been there by now. Do you hear the Spirit trying to move you forward to be more like Jesus? Are you treating the Spirit like a child in the backseat of your car? Ignoring it. The Spirit is prompting us to move forward, prompting us to make progress, to grow. The goal of our life is to be like Jesus. You know, since coming back from this retreat, something that I did, I have this MacBook here, right? That's like the Apple's like facing at you, right? I have this MacBook and I wanted some new screensavers and backgrounds to just inspire me every time I was doing work on my laptop. And one of them was a picture of Jesus' feet. Giuseppe, you got it? There we go. Okay, well, clearly those are not Jesus' feet, right? Let's clear that up before we move forward. This is stained glass. There's a lot of issues. You might have issues with the skin color, the pedicure, many things. But so it's not Jesus' actual feet, clearly. But it's the symbol for me. It's the meaning for me. It reminds me that I'm sitting at his feet. I should be learning from him. That's something that really inspires me. You know, and as Janine shared earlier, you know, most of us either fall in that Martha category, right? Distracted, worry about many things, not focused on Jesus, or the Mary category, where our priorities are on point and we're putting God first and listening to him. So for me, this is just a reminder to sit at his feet. But there's so many reminders throughout the Bible to be more and more like Jesus. In Matthew 5, verse 48, it talks about being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. In 1 John 3, verses 2 to 3, it talks about being pure as he is pure. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, it talks about loving as he loves. And in 1 John 2, actually, let's turn there. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6. I'm going to turn there really quickly. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We're called to walk like Jesus. It's clearly our goal to be as much like Jesus as possible. And when we can't go any further, God makes up the difference and gets us there. That's what it's all about. Have we lost sight of this goal? Do we still have vision for ourselves? Vision to be more like Jesus? Do you still have vision for others to be more like Jesus? You know, Paul was focused on being like Jesus himself. But in Colossians 1, verse 28 to 29, Paul says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all energy Christ so powerfully works in me. You know, Paul had not only vision for himself, but vision for other people to be like Jesus. And he wanted to be a part of that process, helping others to be more and more like Jesus. You know, when we're convinced that there is more, that there's something greater, I think that really inspires us to dream. That inspires us to imagine, to have vision for ourselves in Christ. You know, I also want to talk about not only focusing on Jesus, but the goals that we can set here in Brooklyn, right? Ways we can look forward here in Brooklyn. You know, heaven is the goal. Jesus is the goal. But there are other visions and dreams that we should focus on when our focus is first Christ. But dreams that we should have that can impact the church, ways that we can impact Brooklyn, and ways we can dream for God. Does that make sense? There's also dreams that we should have in those ways. You know, and I spent time kind of thinking about this, and you know, if you have nothing to look forward to, you can never move forward. If you have nothing to look forward to, you can never move forward. You know, the theme of this campus service is From This Day Forward, and I thought about coming out here and encouraging people to make a decision to whatever it is for you from this day forward, to change, to do all of these things. But if I didn't talk about why we do it, it would be a fruitless effort. You know, we do it because of Jesus. We do it because the Holy Spirit is begging us to, because we're not there yet. But we all need a reason why we're going to move forward. We can't just make a decision to change and have no motivation. You know, so what are you looking forward to? What's moving you forward? I think about Jesus. Jesus moved forward to the cross for many reasons that were compelling him. He was thinking about obeying the scriptures. And I also think he was thinking about us. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, it talks about the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus was thinking ahead, and that's why he was able to move forward. He was able to push past obstacles because he was thinking about us being here, being able to have a relationship with God, being able to have a relationship with each other. You know, I want to share about a brother that I saw push past obstacles this week because he was looking forward to something. And that brother's name is Onichi Aguirre. Right? I want to share about Nietzsche. So, Nietzsche, lost my place here, I'm sorry. Can we show the video? Doesn't need audio. No audio, G. This is the father-daughter gala. This was last night. Many of our fathers in the church We're gathered together. Luther Vandross Dance with My Father is playing in the background. That just like, it's like tearjerker type thing. And it was amazing. Everyone was dancing with their daughters. This is the very tame part of last night. Once some other songs came on, it got a little crazy. But this was so beautiful to me. This was beautiful to me. And Giuseppe, you can show the picture when the video is done. You know, this is the first annual father-daughter gala, right? And there's got to be more, right? For the people who were there last night, the father-daughter gala was amazing, right? The father-daughter gala was amazing. Henry and Janine did a great job. It was amazing. But Nietzsche was looking forward to this. He was looking forward to Saturday. I saw Nietzsche on Tuesday. And Nietzsche was not in a good spot on Tuesday. Nietzsche was in the hospital on Tuesday. And it just so happened that I was in the area, I was in the city, so I was able to visit Sloan Kettering at that time. And Nietzsche was in a lot of pain when I was there. He was in a difficult spot. He was really struggling on Tuesday. And I saw him after he was discharged. So he was going through a lot more before I even saw him. And, you know, I was there and I was worried. And I was like, you know, Nietzsche, you're fighting, man. You're such a fighter. He's like, Coop, sometimes I don't want to fight. Sometimes I don't want to fight. But what I learned from Nietzsche is that what you want to do and what you choose to do don't have to be the same thing. Those can be two completely different things. He didn't necessarily want to push through the pain. Probably wanted to give in. Rather the pain not be there at all. But he made a different decision. And he talked about what he was looking forward to. He pointed to Daisy, who was right in front of him. He said, this person keeps me going. Daisy keeps me going. And he also spoke about the father-daughter dance. He's like, I got to make it to Saturday so I can dance with Jennifer. So I can go on this date with Jennifer. And they came in looking nice. He got a corsage for Jennifer. It was amazing. It was great. But because he was looking forward to something, he was able to push through. He knew that the week would be difficult. He knew that it was going to be a lot of struggles throughout the week, but he pushed through because he has something that he was looking forward to. Fathers, we have something that we can look forward to. All those daughters who are there, your children, your families. Remember why you are doing this. Remember to keep loving and investing yourselves in your children and your daughters, and to keep being an example of Christ. You know, for all the men here, let's consider the type of fathers we want to be one day, God willing, to God's glory. You know, and also be moved by the fact that, unfortunately, not many communities in Brooklyn have this type of experience where fathers and daughters are able to meet together in that way. We have men who refuse to take responsibility for their actions, refuse to be fathers. And we can help break that cycle by showing them Jesus. We could be a part of that change. I think we really got to be thinking about what pushes us forward. What is our motivation? Those are the things that we really got to be thinking about as we're moving forward. You know, our theme for this month is family for life. And I think something we could also have vision for is the family around us. This is our family right here. If you look around, this is our family. We should have vision for our relationships with one another. We should desire to get to know each other better. I remember when I first became a disciple, I thought the first time I came to church here, I was in the old church building, and I remember the fellowship afterwards, and everyone is talking to each other, and I knew like one person. Like I knew Steve, I kind of knew Joe, kind of knew Sean. Like I didn't know anybody, but I saw this family, and I thought, all right, I don't know anybody here, but I feel like once I get to know a few people, that I'm just going to be in there, that they're going to bring me in, they're going to welcome me. And I saw an amazing family. I remember the first few months of my discipleship, I was like, I'm going to learn everyone's name, right? And that has not happened. It's been 5 years, but I think I lost my vision. Why not learn everyone's name? I don't know why, I just kind of just became content with just not having relationships with everybody. We're not knowing all of my brothers and sisters. I should have continued to be motivated by that because Jesus died for what we have. Jesus prayed for the unity that we have. And I had to maintain that vision. It's something I got to restart again. You know, another person that was looking forward to something was Abraham. And I want to close out with the scripture in Romans 4. Romans 4. We're going to read Romans 4. And we're going to start in verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This was why it was credited to him as righteousness. And we can stop there. You know, Abraham was looking forward to something. You know, Father Abraham had many sons, right? He was looking forward to that song being sung about him, many descendants. But his reality made his faith in that seem a little silly. He was 100 years old. His wife was, I believe, 90 years old. Abraham's facts just weren't lining up with the promises of God at that time. But he faced those facts, and he had faith in spite of those facts. Because God's promises were more reliable than the odds, than the laws of nature, than the physical reality before his eyes. He saw that God's promises were more trustworthy, that God was more trustworthy and powerful. So he believed. He dreamed. He had vision. You know, God gives us this example, and I think Abraham is someone that we can follow. You know, when God says, I'm making you new, I'm raising you to new life, I'm breaking you free from sin, we need to have unwavering faith that we can repent and move on. When God says, if you have faith, then I'm the only way, and if you respond in repentance and baptism, you will be saved. Believe that he can forgive you and that you can have a relationship with him. When he says the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call, believe that he can save your classmate, that he can save your coworker, the atheist, the terrorist, the super wealthy. It doesn't matter. The promise is for all. Don't ignore the facts of your life when you dream, but have vision in spite of them, because you can trust God more. You know, the fact is, truer than all of those facts are God's promises. God is greater. His promises are more real than our reality. They're truer than gravity. His promises are the foundation of our faith. So have vision that are soaked in the promises of God and who God is. Have vision for what God can do that's inspired by his power and not by your own abilities. Is your dream so big that without God it would fail? If not, it's not completely dependent on God. Against all hope, dream for your life. Dream for your Bible talks. Dream for this ministry, for this church. Have a dream for the 2.5 million and counting people in Brooklyn. Have a dream against all hope. Look forward to something greater in Brooklyn. You know, I think ultimately these two things that I really wanted to share with you guys is to always look forward to Jesus. For the rest of our lives, we will be able to look forward to Jesus. If you feel like I have nothing to look forward to, you can look forward to being with God in heaven. At the very least, you can have that. And that's the goal of our lives. And on top of that, we can dream for things along the way. We can dream for the impact that we'll make in other people's lives. We can dream for the way that God will use our lives, the way he will change us. We can dream for our families, so many things. Let's plant those dreams in the promises of God and let them move you forward. From this day forward, what will change? To God be the glory.